This spring, the State Assembly is approving a resolution from Assemblymember Ron Kim to make November 22nd Kimchi Day in New York. In light of this, we wanted to chat about kimchi and Korean food more broadly with the Queens Democrat, who immigrated to Queens from South Korea when he was 7. Welcome back to the show, Assemblymember.
Thanks for bringing me back on.
Well, for listeners who haven't had kimchi, what is it?
It's fermented vegetable. There's hundreds of different ways you can make it, but it's usually with lettuce and radish. Mm-hmm. And it's the base for many soup dishes that Koreans make. But on its own, it's a delicious fermented, usually spicy, a little bit spicier type of vegetables that you can eat with rice and other type of dishes to complement whatever's in front of you. But it's been known globally as one of the healthiest type of dishes around that prevents all sorts of illnesses. United Nations recognize it as one of the healthiest dishes in the world. And it's the pride of Korean culture. That's why they made such an effort over the last few years to promote this globally. And now we're bringing it to Albany.
From your experience over the last 4 decades, do you think there's good kimchi and bad kimchi, or like other dishes like ice cream or pizza, there really is no bad kimchi?
It really depends on what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. You know, depending on how long it's aged, depending on whether it's what season it's made in. Some people like it very raw, very fresh. Some people like it very seasoned. But there's a kimchi for everyone, and it's really just the way to complement whatever Asian cuisine you're eating. It goes well with everything. And it's quite something now. It's become so commercialized. You can go to most markets down in New York City, and they sell it in jars. You know, you could get it at the supermarkets. You can make it on your own.
Yeah.
And it's a great dish.
How, if at all, do you eat kimchi now? Is it a regular part of your diet?
You know, it's something that's deeply personal for me, because my mom grew up making jars and jars of kimchi for the family, and she would distribute it to my grandparents or family, and we would have jars of kimchi always available at our house. But you know, she passed away last year from COVID in October, and we still have some jars of kimchi that she's made. The last couple of kimchi dishes that she's made for me and my dad, my dad and I still don't know how to properly make it as well as she does. So we often go to markets and buy them now. But to many Korean families, the art of making kimchi and eating kimchi is deeply tied to family, tied to traditions, tied to events. I mean, almost every other dish we eat in Korean cuisine involves some formation of kimchi. So for me, it's very personal that we get a chance to celebrate this dish here in Albany at a time when so many people have reduced Asians and Asian cultures, and we're witnessing so much hatred, violence every other day on the media against Asian Americans. This is how we break through. This is how we bring a normalized part of our culture as if it's indeed a part of the American fabric, because it really is. It's, you know, my family and I and many other families, you know, embrace this dish as part of the American fabric.
Have you thought about how or when you're going to consume those remaining jars of kimchi?
Yeah, no, it's you know, it's still sitting in my dad's refrigerator, and I think he eats it, and that's part of the way that our community also embraces my father and my mom's loss, is that some of these local restaurant owners, I didn't even know about it, they would actually make their own kimchi and other type of Korean dishes and send it to my dad's place. That's one way to show how much they care. It's almost like a cultural, social currency, right? Like, it's part of our DNA, and it's part of how we share our traditions and our values. And I'm looking forward to, you know, enjoying the last few jars that my mom made for us with my dad in the coming months.
Well, you said your dad didn't know how to make kimchi himself, and that kind of coincides with something I read that you wrote about your mom, how when they got married and he tried to help out in the kitchen, his new mother-in-law said basically that the man's role was not in the kitchen. So growing up, do you remember your dad ever cooking, or did he really take that experience to heart and your mom just did all the cooking for the next 67 years of her life?
There was definitely a generational gap. Mm-hmm. You know, my parents came from a more traditional Korean family. And my dad does enjoy the kitchen work and chores and other stuff, but living like the way he's lived with my mom for all these years, you know, he's been conditioned to not go near it. I mean, I think that's just that's how my mom just, you know, embraced that role in our family. But things have changed, obviously, with me, you know, with three young daughters. That's one of the very first things that we challenged my parents early on when my wife and I noticed these small things in the household, because it was very important for our daughters to see that a husband, a man, does all the chores, does cook, does all the things, just like any other woman would have been sometimes have been conditioned to do. And it was important for our daughters to see that at the very foundational level. And since that conversation, things did change quite a bit with my dad being more conscientious around our daughters to make sure that they knew that a woman's role is not in the kitchen. And he himself, even at his age, is willing to change.
Growing up in Queens, was Korean food something that you only ate at home, or was it something that you had out for dinner or at friends' houses or in your school lunch?
Yeah. As you can imagine, kimchi is not the, you know, it could be quite stinky.
Yes.
It could be smelly. So bringing kimchi to the cafeteria as a young immigrant kid is quite embarrassing. You don't want to do it.
And that's something restaurateur David Chang has talked about, another Korean American, about how he was like embarrassed to have this lettuce, this like seaweed product in there, because people would be like, "Ooh, this is strange." And same thing with kimchi.
Right, and it smells. People, kids are judging you. You're already kind of an outsider as an immigrant, and you're bringing these kind of weird food dishes. And every immigrant kid, whether you're Korean or Chinese, have experienced this growing up in the 80s and 90s in places like New York City. But now it's not the case. Like, I have non-Korean, non-Asian friends buying jars of kimchi in Queens, because it's becoming part of their you know, routines of eating and making dishes. And for one generation to have that kind of shift, it leaves an intangible impact in terms of not just saying that you want to include or celebrate diversity, but actually, like, living it and being part of it. And that's how we actually make and give Asian American immigrants and young Asian kids a sense of ownership and belonging that I often did not have growing up. I always felt judged. I always felt invalidated. I always had a chip on my shoulder because people would say, "Well, what are you eating? That's so gross. And, you know, get that stuff out of here." Like, those little microaggressions add up to building a larger chip for any immigrant kid that grew up in that era. But it took me a long while to get rid of that chip and really feel comfortable in my skin and embrace our food. So this moment when we already passed this resolution, but tomorrow's we're celebrating the resolution. It's a real milestone for someone like me to bring an entire community up here and have an exhibition on the history of kimchi for people in Albany to understand and talk about it openly without feeling shameful.
Well, one of the ramifications, though, of Korean food becoming really ingrained in our culture is that now we have, say, white restaurateurs who are cooking Korean food. We have sort of this Korean fusion food where we have dishes like gochujang, like inspired fried chicken, or like a beef bulgogi cheesesteak. Do you have any problems with, I guess, that, which could be considered as appropriation to a certain degree, or is it good?
No, I think it's beautiful. I mean, I think kimchi is probably one of the most, probably the only original Korean food from South and North Korea that both countries acknowledged as part of our history and acknowledged in the history in the United Nations. But everything else that Korean culture has done is also very fusion-esque. We take something from different Asian cultures and transform it and making it much better. We take Japanese sushi and come up with many different combinations of different types.
Yeah, the Japanese-Korean combo, because of the back and forth between the countries, definitely see the influences there.
And it transcends all through different Korean cultures, including like martial arts, like you know, in Japan, they take karate and they're like, oh, we got it. There's only one way to kick. And we've done this for 3,000 years. Koreans have different ways of kicking every year. They come up with different, you know, formations of kicking and they compete. And I think that's what's happening with Korean food globally. And same thing as K-pop and other type of Korean culture that's being embraced on a global level. And I think it's a beautiful thing. That's, you know, the more cultures that get to embrace it, enjoy it, transform it, the more creativity and the more, I think, sharing that we'll have around food.
What Korean food, if any, could you find when you were going to college in Central New York in the late 90s?
Yeah, I didn't have any Korean food. In Clinton, New York, there was one Chinese restaurant, and we had chicken and broccoli, you know, the standard Chinese restaurant food. But you know what's interesting? Starting like 2 years ago, there was even a food truck up here in Albany that mm-hmm. had Korean food options, which I thought it blew my mind that I was like in Albany and ordering bibimbap and all these Korean, and it had kimchi in it. It was amazing. So I would imagine if I go back to upstate New York, central New York, Syracuse, Clinton, there'll be more Korean options now.
Well, when you go to Korean restaurants now, especially ones that might cater to, you know, a non-Korean audience, is there any sort of secret understanding between you and maybe Korean American staff who work there about like knowing like certain things to order that might be off menu, or like any sort of other tricks of the trade for ordering that you have, or are there no special insights?
You know, when it comes to seafood, mm-hmm. there's some special requests.
Okay.
But most of the other food that involves kimchi or spicy food is standard stuff. But there's certain things that Koreans like when it comes to sashimi and fresh food, that you would have to go into those restaurants and know the owner or make those requests for you to get those dishes.
And are there any Korean dishes that you feel are like your specialty when you're cooking for your wife and three kids?
Yeah. I mean, the standard dish that, you know, we make is spam kimchi fried rice. You know, that's the gold standard of any Korean food. If you can't make a good kimchi spam fried rice, then you're not truly Korean in my book.
Well, we've been speaking with Assemblymember Ron Kim. He is a Queens Democrat who sponsored a resolution to make November 22nd Kimchi Day in New York. Assemblymember, thank you so much for making the time. Really appreciate
it. Thank you. This is fun. Thank you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.